Welcome to Tabletop Tommies. I'm Johnny.
And I'm Phil.
And in today's episode, we're talking about the armies of Hungary. We'll not be going through every single unit. We're going to be looking at one specific question that Phil asked, which is...
why would I play Hungary rather than playing Germany?
It's a great question. It's one that I'm sure many competitive players have asked themselves many times. I think the first reason is, if you're not competitive, theme.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is really a subjective measure, so it's not really one we could spend a long time talking about. But I think if you're thematically inclined, then who are we to tell you not to play Hungary?
Which is an absolutely justified and valid reason. But my limited experience of playing Hungary, or playing against Hungary, I should say, having never played them, is I mostly see people play a German army in all but name, possibly with different colours, with an extra unit because of the Axis special rule. And this is obviously up until Case Blue, where Case Blue has added in some interesting new rules, which may make me reconsider my position. But from a sort of layman's simplistic perspective, they're like Germany with an extra unit.
Yeah. So from purely a competitive point of view, mm-hmm. the main reason to play Hungary would be if you have a platoon limit of one at a mm-hmm. tournament, mm-hmm. then you've got a sneaky advantage because you can throw in an extra something
yeah.
that you think will be useful.
Sure.
So you can throw in an extra multi-launcher or an extra tank, especially now you can throw in the Dacker Panzer for the Germans mm-hmm. as your Axis support unit. But you're right, I used to play Hungary and I stopped playing them because it did just feel like playing Germany, mm-hmm. but with less... toys, basically.
Okay.
And also less national characteristics, because the only thing the Hungarians have is, as we said, Axis support, where you can take anything up to armor 9, mm. as in you can't take armor 10 and 11, and it can't be veteran. But otherwise, you can have anything from the armies of Germany or the Italian Eastern Front Theater Selector. So that's a nice way to pad out a second artillery unit or some extra troops, whatever you feel will benefit you most at the tournament. But other than that, their only other national characteristic is that their officer's fanatic.
Mm.
But of course, he doesn't last very long in close quarters anyway, so it doesn't make a... And if he's taking a big high explosive shell or a flamethrower, he's not going to survive it just from the wounds alone, is he?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if you look at, say, for example, Bulgaria, which is, you know, another one of the minor nations, that has an interesting special rule, at least one interesting special rule, and we'll cover that in a future episode. For me, the Hungarian special rules in the armies of Italy, the fact that you can have fanatic HQ units is neither here nor there for the reasons you just said, because they don't last very long.
Yeah. Now, one of the benefits from my perspective that Fortress Budapest added,
mm-hmm.
they added assault pioneers who could be regular.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you are paying an extra point per model because they've got the motivated elite special rule where if they pass an order test, they lose D2 pins. So mm-hmm. they're actually 11 points a man. But what it means is if you do want to take cheaper engineers than veteran engineers, you've got an option in here. And so that was one of the competitive reasons you might want to look at Hungary over Germany if you're into your flamethrower spam.
Side note, can you not take regular pioneers in Germany with one of the Fallschirmjäger, one of the SS units?
So with the Germans,
mm-hmm.
they added the Waffen Pioneer Squad.
Mm. US D-Day. D-Day US sectors.
Let me open it. Page 142 onwards. Waffen SS Pioneer Squad. So it counts as infantry for the purpose of the generic selector. It can replace any Pioneer Assault Engineer units in any late war German selector, but there's a maximum of one Waffen SS Pioneers late war per platoon. And so unless it's a theater selector where it allows you to take more than one, you are limited to one regular in the Germans. And so that is a benefit of Hungary, that they have access to as many regulars.
Mm.
as they want, if you want to spam sort of mm-hmm. 5 flamethrowers or higher in a competitive tournament.
Okay.
But then, of course, the counterpoint to that is, compared to, say, the US, you're paying 5 points a squad extra. But then, of course, the counterpoint to that is if you take lots of pins coming in on your truck,
mm-hmm.
you can lose D2 getting off the truck. So that could mean that there's a situation where your flamethrower gets off and would have had one pin, but ends up with 0. And so it's hitting back on 3s instead of 4s, or 4s instead of 5s.
Okay, I'm going to put a 1 in the Hungary column for an advantage over Germany on that basis.
Perfect. So I hope we're going to keep score as we go. Other than that, there isn't a huge amount in Fortress Budapest for the Hungarians that really catches my eye from the way I play competitively. There's a lot of like really good stuff that I imagine you would like fanatics and veterans, mm-hmm. SMG squads. So the parachute assault section, you get 5 mm-hmm. men for 78 points because they've got tough as old boots.
Mm, cool.
And so, and they're motivated elite. I mean,
okay.
And so you're paying 15 points a man, basically.
This is more my language. Come on.
Yeah. The NC also has an SMG, and
yeah.
Up to four additional men can have SMGs and two Fausts, so you can make yourself, for 100 points, you can have five guys with tough as old boots who are motivated elite, who all have SMGs and have two Fausts.
Perfect. Excellent. My 8 dice, 1,000 point list, I'm all over it. Brilliant.
But that's the kind of stuff, other than that, really, that you're looking at in Fortress Budapest.
It does add things like the 44mm Pancelrum rocket launcher. Yeah. Pancelrum. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's just a bazooka. So what it's done, I think what Fortress Budapest did is didn't make Hungary one of the competitive nations, but it brought them up to a level where they could compete,
mm-hmm.
because it's adding those things like a useful anti-tank option rather than having to take a Shrek. And it added a multi-launcher, for example. Mm. So this is a case where you can have the Hungarian multi-launcher alongside the Axis support Nevelwerfer,
okay.
if you're a limited or a single platoon, and still keep your tank slot free for something fun, which,
okay.
speaking of, they do have one of the nicest armored fighting vehicles without mm-hmm. a turret.
Okay.
What do we call them?
Assault guns.
Assault guns, yes. They have one of the nicest assault guns, in my opinion, in the book, which is the Zrini.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is the one, it's like a Stug, basically, meets a Stew. And so... Okay. You get, for 180 points, you get a medium howitzer.
Yeah.
But you can add heat ammunition for 10 points, and that makes it both a medium howitzer and a medium anti-tank.
Yeah, okay, I like that. That's cool. That's another one in the column. That's 2-0. Yep.
Yeah. Again, it's not a super competitive one, but it just fills a gap that was there previously before Fortress Budapest come along.
You could pair that quite nicely, like you say, with, the Dacker Panzer, for example. So you've got something a little bit meaty, both HE and anti-tank, and then you've got your anti-infantry with some form of a German Dacker tank. That's quite cool.
And then the thing that Fortress Budapest added was lots of nice theatre selectors with their own special rules.
Yeah, so whenever I've played against Hungarians, it's normally been with the Pocket Defenders theatre selector.
You mean the German theatre selector that's in the book there, basically, isn't it?
Well, I mean, and that's probably where I've got this position that it's a German army with different uniforms.
But yeah, because that selector basically just allows you to throw in a few Hungarian units into your German army. The ones that I like are ones that we very rarely see because they're armored selectors.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got some really fun ones where the tanks can do sort of like reconnaissance moves at the beginning of the game.
Mm-hmm. Hungarian Armored Field Division Armor Platoon?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so the Hungarian Armored Field Division Armor Platoon, bit of a mouthful. So you need to take one command vehicle and two tanks, which is either your 40M 2-round or your 40M 2-round 2. So three of them, yeah, and then 0-3 tanks, which are effectively 2-rounds or Panthers, Panzer IVs, Tigers, or Hetzer. And then your usual expected selection of infantry pioneers. You can take 0-3 assault pioneers in this one. Okay. But yeah, so the special rules prior to the Magyar. So the Hungarian tank crews made up for material disadvantages with the dash and aggression of their Hussar forebears. All tanks and armored cars in the first wave or deployed on the table are allowed to make a pre-game move after both sides have a finished setup, but before the first turn of the game. Use the vehicle's advance rate and number of turns. Terrain will affect this move. During this move, the unit cannot be targeted by enemies in ambush. In addition, any tank or armored car units in reserve do not suffer the -1 roll to arrive from outflanking. So it's a move, not an order. So I'm guessing you can't fire at the end of this. You could just move it forward.
Yeah, it's basically lead the way, but for tanks.
Yeah, huzzah. Tanks lead the way. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And then again, the not getting the -1 for the outflank, it's very much... If your playstyle is rushing towards the enemy,
yeah,
this is a really good list. And the shame is we never see it in sort of organized events because it's rare you get to run armored platoons in organized events.
Sure.
But it is a really fun one to throw in. I mean, you could take three Tigers and just rush them up at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
And then you'd be sort of 30 inches across the table by... the end of turn one, because you'd go start 12, you advance 9, and then it's turn one, you advance another 9 and shoot.
Ah, yeah, so at the end of turn one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're basically in their deployment zone. Effectively, you're knocking on their door at the end of turn one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of points, and you rarely get to use it, but it is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Shouting tank fear whenever your opponent tries to activate a unit. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. And that's the kind of stuff that they're getting from Fortress Budapest. They're basically, what that book did, and the reason I really like it, is that it pads out the Hungarians enough to put them on a level playing field, and adds a bit of fun. Even though it didn't make them a huge competitive force, it just nicely brought them back up to speed with the other armies. So that's sort of your Fortress Budapest. There's a couple of reasons there to play Hungarians, I imagine, from your perspective.
Yeah.
I'm not even on the fence.
I'm not convinced.
You're not even in the garden yet.
I'm not. No. I'm probably just walked through the gate looking at the fence across the garden. I'm nowhere near getting to it.
So obviously we then got Case Blue, which is our latest thing. And there's some good fun stuff in there for Hungarians. Because our biggest complaint, the fact they don't have national characteristics, is addressed here.
Yeah.
Again, it's facing that same problem that I just said about the armed platoon, where you've added a lot of fun, but you might never get to use it.
Because it's up to the TO, because it's meant for theatre selectors in Case Blue, but caveat being that you may allow it in a generic Hungarian platoon.
Yeah. And I think they're not overpowered, are they?
Well, they could be.
Well, go on. Do you want to quickly run us through what they get?
Yeah, so Hungarians in Case Blue, you get the improvised AT, which we discussed in the previous episode. So that's where you get to reroll any AT weapons or grenades with less than +3 penetration. Mm-hmm. You get Trial by Fire, which allows you, any time a Hungarian officer makes a U-Men snap to action order, roll a D6. On the 6, an inexperienced unit within the command range of the officer unit may be upgraded to regular. Very situational. I mean, nice, you know, if it comes off and if your army has his inexperienced units, but yeah, very situational.
Yeah, I think if you buy loads of inexperienced squads, plan to use this as like your gotcha, you're probably going to be disappointed.
Yeah, you're probably going to get yourself, yeah.
Yeah.
So the one that is interesting, I was pausing over, is the Hussar tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So this reflects the Hungarian tankers being trained to quickly reposition their vehicles when enemies are blinded by their own smoke and reloading. In the game, all Hungarian tanks gain the recce special rule. Furthermore, any Hungarian unit that already has the recce special rule in its unit profile need no longer abide by the recce restriction to move further away from the enemy or out of line of sight. Instead, the unit can move in any direction when activating a recce movement, including closer to the enemy.
Which is pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah. So the question mark is, what counts as a Hungarian tank? Because in that wording, all Hungarian tanks gain the recce special rule. So obviously anything in the armies of Italy and Axis is a Hungarian tank.
Mm-hmm.
Do presumably entries in Fortress Budapest that come under the Hungary section, which are tanks, they would count as Hungarian tanks, assuming they're available in a generic platoon and assuming that these special rules are being allowed in a Hungarian generic platoon?
Yeah, I mean, what's quite nice is you give up your Axis support in order to gain that rule.
Okay, so
because these are new national characteristics, the same way Italy ditched theirs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It means that actually it should be fairly clear that it's just whatever you've bought should be legit. Now, the one sort of fly in the ointment, if you will, is that there are some German tanks in Hungarian service that get added in Fortress Budapest. Now, because they're in Hungarian service, I imagine that's absolutely fine because this ultimately is a rule about the crew rather than about the tanks themselves, isn't it?
Okay. So this is why, and people have been talking about this since Case Blue came out, you could take a Tiger and give it recce.
Yeah.
Because the Tiger appears in Fortress Budapest as a Hungarian unit, and then the National Special Rules in Case Blue apply to Hungarian units. Therefore, you can have a recce Tiger.
Yeah. To be honest, I actually don't mind having a Tiger with recce because Tigers are so expensive anyway.
Mm-hmm.
To give them some way to survive, if someone gets the hop on you with their super heavy anti-tank gun, to be able to reverse back around the corner is a bit of a win.
Mm.
And I think it's actually a really nice thing. The funny thing is, so in the Fortress Budapest German recce platoon, you can give some of your transports recce, but you have to pay the 10 points.
Yes.
And so what's interesting here is we're just getting it for free, which actually, when you look at the other nations who get stuff for free, like Japanese with Fanatics, it's not a huge boon getting sort of 10 points a tank when you're only going to be running, what, 4 tanks maximum?
And obviously, like you just said, because this replaces the national special rules in the armies of Italy and Axis, you're not going to get a Hungarian Tiger with recce and then also an Axis support German vehicle because you can't take the Hussar tradition alongside the Axis support.
What would be quite nice, actually, is they have the Nimrod anti-aircraft tank, which is, well, it's a tankette, it's described as in the book, which is armor 7, flak, open-topped, turret-mounted, heavy autocannon for 90 points.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. I like that one.
Yeah, very reasonably priced, 90 points for that, I think.
Yeah.
And so if you could give that recce as well for free.
Okay, so I'm starting to see a dual platoon 1,000-point generic list where I've got those two Nimrods with Hussar tradition, and then I've got my assault pioneers from Fortress Budapest spilling out of their transports, and then fleshed out with units that look suspiciously like Germans.
And then on that note of spilling out the transports, the FAQ did just give them machine guns for their transports.
Okay.
Which was one of the big complaints I had. If I did run those Pioneers, you end up in that situation where you end up buying the experienced truck. It doesn't arrive, but it's not worth paying for the regular truck because he's not going to be shooting anyway and all that sort of stuff. Now they're going to have machine guns. That does make it a little bit more tempting again.
Mm. We're getting there.
But you're still leaning German, Hungarian.
I'm moving towards the center of the garden with the fence in front of me. I'm not yet up to the fence, deciding whether or not to hop over.
Of course, as well, the other problem here is it requires any event you run, you go to allow you to run the Case Blue rules.
Yeah.
Which isn't a given.
No.
But if it was, then I'd love to run those numbers. To be honest, if they allowed me to run an armored platoon where I could take sort of 5 Nimrods, anyone brings an air observer, I've got this down.
Yeah. Who brings an air observer to a tank platoon game? Car. Like a knife to a gunfight.
So I bring my five Recce Nimrods.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually that would be a time to lean into those fairly mundane veteran units that you can take with just SMGs or Motivated Elite or whatever sort of fun shenanigans you want. I mean, if we built it the way you were saying there, the Pioneers, a good addition from the FAQ is the cavalry that's now allowed to charge.
Mm-hmm. And then I can make my HQ put them on cavalry, on horses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're fanatic.
Well, if we're using the new national characteristics, you're going to lose that fanaticism on your officer. So.
Oh, okay, that's a scratch that one off the list.
Yeah, but to be honest, all the times I've ran Hungarians, it's never been relevant.
No.
Because I've either lost them to something big.
Yeah.
Or it's been a rifle fire that I would have passed the test on anyway. And it was. And then once you're down to one man, you're no longer fanatic anyway, are you? So. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not sold. I'm quite happy with my Germans as it is. I don't feel that I need to change nationality. However, what are the miniatures like? Do the miniatures look cool? Are the vehicles looking cool? Am I going to enjoy collecting and painting them?
I think you will, especially if you like metal minis.
Okay.
So for me, the way I built mine was I used the Winter Germans as sort of the starting point.
Yeah.
I then padded out from there. Again, I was theming around Fortress Budapest, and so I've got a lot of Soviet captured weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way that I went, because I like plastics. But if you like metals, there are lots of different metal models available.
Okay.
Have you had a look at the Rangers before?
Only from the other side of the table.
I'm just having a look to see if there's any more units before we go down the modelling rabbit hole.
I've just found the Arrow Cross Militia section.
Yeah.
So it's 25 points for 5 men, inexperienced, armed of rifles. They are shirkers, but they also have fatalistic zeal, and they count as fanatic during close combat.
Yeah, for 20 points you get 5 men. Is that
25 points. They're 5 points a man. So you can have a 10-man shirker, vaguely fanatic in close combat squad. That's a bit different.
It's quite nice for holding objectives on your back lines, where especially if you're out of line of sight, so they're not going to take any shooting, and your opponent's going to have to come and charge you.
Yeah, they're kind of cool.
The Hussar Reconnaissance Squad. Now, here's an interesting little rules FAQ for you here, sir.
Yeah.
Do you remember when they added the cavalry for Hungary in Case Blue? But they added the Hussar Reconnaissance section, which is basically men on horses, but they're not allowed to charge. They added it as its own special rule.
No, that's in the Armies Off.
This is the Case Blue squad, page 111. Now, they've fixed the unit in the main book, in the Armies of Italy and Axis book, and now they can charge. But I guess these Hussars still can't charge, even though they're the same points?
I see what you mean. Yeah. I mean, I imagine the next FAQ will include some more tidying up of the Case Blue stuff, because I know Alex Smith was collecting things that people wanted to dress by Warlord.
Yeah, well, hopefully, if anyone's listening at Warlord, here's a quick fix for you. Get that nicely aligned. Equally, let the Bulgarians and the Romanian cavalry charge, man.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing for me from the FAQ, was that the Hungarians could, but the Bulgarians and Romanians couldn't. Well, that's a separate episode when we get to Romania and Bulgaria, but
clearly, whoever's proofreading the FAQ is Hungarian.
Quite possibly, yeah.
But, I mean, ultimately, we're looking at a force that its big strength is to use the single platoon to its advantage by adding extra support if you do it from those rules. If you're doing it from the Case Blue rules, I think your advantage here is to have a recce tank. That's the main takeaway for me.
Yeah, well, and potentially things like AT rifles, light autocannon on your vehicles, heavy autocannon on your vehicles because it's +3 as well. So, yeah, I can see how Case Blue has made them a bit more interesting, but I'm still going to stick with my Germans, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Couldn't tempt you.
Not a man of culture, sorry.
I have to say, I would, for a sort of a thematic tournament where they're going to let me use the new national characteristics, I would be very tempted to run either a panther or a tiger with the recce rules. Just because it'd be really fun to be able to sort of reverse your tiger up to take a shot, etc.
Yeah, so the Warlord miniatures are nice, and the Great Escape as well have a decent range. They've got winter, summer, and the little section of cavalry. Hungarians as well. So I guess if you were interested in modelling them, there are some options out there. You're not just looking at Warlord games, for example. I mean, presumably you could use German models. You could, I'm guessing there's going to be some element of a crossover with some of the Italian uniforms or Italian kit.
Somewhat. I think they're mainly using the, is it the Stahlhelm, we call it? So they're mainly using the Stahlhelms. And so A lot of the thematic fighting is winter based, and so you put them in a great coat. Any great coated model, stick a German head on it.
Any great coat will do.
Yeah, make sure you paint some fantastic facial hair.
Of course, yeah.
And then you're probably the most thematic you can be, really.
You're good to go.
Have you seen the, oh, what was the one I was just looking at? Oh, the gendarmes. Mm-hmm. They get gendarmes where 12 points regular, 5 men, rifles, but you can re-roll morale checks if within 12 inches of the gendarmes.
So they feel a bit like, they're like, they feel like there's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of things going on from other nations across the bolt actions of the world. And they're kind of taking a bit here and a bit there and a bit there, put it all into a melting pot, produce something that feels very German, but with some little flavor and characteristics. But it doesn't feel like it's stitching together in such a way that I can really build a solid competitive list.
Yeah, I would agree. They are sort of like the greatest hits, aren't they? They're like the bolt action rules greatest hits. Like, oh, do you fancy being able to do this? Do you fancy being able to do this?
Let's take some inexperienced fanatics, very similar to Japan and militia squads.
Make them green.
Let's make them green. we'll chuck in some inexperienced Soviet green rerolls. Yeah. We'll have some gendarmes. Yeah,
it is that basically it. But I think that probably is quite thematic. That they're sort of in the middle of it all, grabbing stuff where they can. For me, it is the fact that they lack sort of their own USP.
Yes,
because they've just grabbed all these little bits from all over the shop. There's not a single thing that they are the best at, which is kind of what I criticize the US for. To be fair,
but their USP is the fire and maneuver. For the US.
Yeah, the USP for the US is they're an easy starting army, because if you misdeploy them, you can just whip over without any penalty for movement. I imagine someone who's really good with the Hungarians, because you've got a lot of ties, if you give it sort of years of fiddling and just sort of like getting your army just right and dropping this unit to add this unit because you found you needed something to outflank, I imagine you could get them really competitive. But they're not an army where you sort of put something down and say, this is a combat army, or this is a long-range blasting army, and that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, I think for me, they lack a specific play style. So they probably are a great army for the person who wants sort of the all-rounder list, the all-comers all-rounder list that doesn't have a sort of specific way it has to play each mission. And you sort of just push up different parts, which is sort of like your Brits if you take away the Gurkhas and the Dacre Stuart.
Yeah. I mean, going back to, you know, my initial slightly facetious comment at the start, which is they're like Germans, but with an extra unit. If you look at Italy, both in the original armies of Italy and the Axis, and also more recently with Case Blue, they are very, very distinct and unique. The Finns are very, very distinct and unique. The Bulgarians are very distinct and unique, and we'll cover that in a future episode. Hungary and Romania, to me, don't feel distinct, and therefore don't make me want to jump in and play them, because they don't have a USP, like you said, which I want to lean into, not because I don't like the USP, just because I don't actually think there is a USP.
No, they're a bit of an all-rounder. And I think for me, the Romanians, when we get to them, I think are a little bit more interesting, because especially if you're allowed to play them on the Allied side, they have some really unique strengths there. But the Hungarians, for me, what I've just, as we're talking here, what I've realized is there's not an infantry choice that I'm excited about putting on the table. The most excited I'd be would be those pioneers. But the whole time I'm thinking, is it worth that extra point a man to get the D2 pins when I pass an order test? Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure it is.
Can you take an armored carrier transport for the Hungarians? Like a Bren carrier, obviously not a Bren carrier, but like a Bren carrier or a consolelet?
It's a great question. I'm just thinking about that. I think now in the Armies of Italy book, you can't.
Okay.
There is access to the 250 as your access support, or the 251.
Too expensive.
But then you're using your slot for an armored carrier.
For transport.
So what are you thinking, like? What are you dreaming up here?
Because if there was a way to get those pioneers to where they need to be on the tabletop and not in a soft skin, so you're not putting them in a truck, the ability to remove the pins when you jump out might be interesting. Because you're driving around in your 7-plus vehicle, you're taking pins because you're open-topped potentially, but then you're going to shed the pins, hopefully, when you jump out and start flaming. If, however, all you can do is just drive them up in the truck, which may or may not get blown up before you get to your destination, or you're having to use an Axis support slot to buy a half-track, an overcosted half-track, it's not really working for me.
Yeah. You see, I don't mind the having to use a soft skin. Mm. I'm fine with that. The problem for me is if you are trying to go the sort of the barbecue list route, paying 55 points for your regulars, and then you're down to passing your test on a 7 with 2 pins, that worries me more than getting out in the flamethrower hitting on a 4.
Yeah, yeah. You may not even get out, irrespective of whether or not you shed any pins, yeah.
Mm. Now, if you went the other way and you went the German style of pioneers, where you just view this like a German list and you build them as veteran pioneers for survivability, and now your Germans have 2 pins, but they're passing on an 8 with a 50-50 shot of getting out with no pins and hitting on 3 with a flamethrower. Now, that might be a more interesting build. So use your flamethrowers in a more elite fashion rather than in a spam fashion.
No, but I could just do that with pioneers and field cars. So,
but you don't get that D2 pins.
I know, but I'm not paying an extra point for them.
You see, and this is the thing with this ability. I think if it was a free ability, then it gives the Hungarians something over the Germans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like that they'd be super overpowered either, because half the time nothing happens. In fact, in my experience, most of the time it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think that's confirmation bias.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's worth, I think you're right. I think the question is it worth a point a man? And I'm not sure it is. And I think this is one of the sort of the credits of Fortress Budapest, but also the criticisms is everything was costed. Every single thing was given a points cost. And so you've got abilities that are costing you 1 point a man that probably aren't worth 1 point a man. And so I think maybe what would have been good is to make it 5 points a unit to encourage people to take the bigger unit. So you're only paying half a point a man.
So, yeah, which would be very different to how any other units costed, but that's a nice way of doing it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because the problem is there are some abilities that are worth less than 1 point a man, but 1 point is the smallest unit of currency.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
But there we go. I think there is a place for Hungarians in the thematic and the competitive, but maybe not.
Certainly not in my collection. No.
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 I mean, I've got them. I do really like the tanks. Their tanks are pretty cool and unique. The Zhrinny's got like mesh, you know, the spaced armor that you get on the side of the Panzers.
The skirts, yeah.
Yeah, it's got like a mesh skirt. That's quite cool.
Yeah.
So there's that. And I think I got that from Mad Bob.
Right.
Just jumping back to the minis conversation. I think Mad Bob was one of the first people to bring out a range of Hungarian tanks. Mm-hmm. But obviously now you can 3D print them and get them from a range of sources.
So I'm genuinely interested to hear from those Hungarian players out there why you play them, what you like using in your list. What have I missed? Why is they're just like Germans with an extra vehicle view not correct? Let us know in the comments. Send us a message.
Please do share, like, and subscribe, and leave us a review. It always warms our hearts when we read a nice review from someone who listens and takes the time to do so.
Ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta for now.